Welcome to the Roto World Hockey Podcast. I'm your host, Joey Alfieri, and joining me like he does for every show is the senior writer and editor of Roto World Hockey, Michael Finewax. Michael, how's it going?
It's kind of cold, but it's not as bad as it is for Alexia in Siberia, where I hear it's been close to like minus 65 some days.
Oh, Alexia, I'm really sorry to hear about that. But, out here on the East Coast, Michael, I know it's warmed up a little bit this week, but last week while I was away, I heard it got pretty frigid.
It was like heading into minus 40, which on the Fahrenheit and Celsius scale is the exact same thing.
Yeah, which once you get to when they're about the same, when they're the same, you know you're getting into some scary territory there. But when it's cold, it just means that we're in the middle of hockey season. So I guess that's putting a positive spin on it, because we do like to put a positive spin on things here on the Roto World Hockey Podcast. There's a number of things I'd like to get to on this episode, Michael. But the thing I want to start with is starting goalie problems. There's a number of teams that have had issues with their starting goaltenders either being injured or simply just not playing well. Going to be honest with you, my in the crease column, I like to think I'm usually bang on. I was rolling the dice. I thought that the 5-day break would do a whole bunch of good for Martin Jones. I thought he'd come back refreshed. First game back, gets pulled. Aaron Dell comes in, does really, really well. I mean, I like Aaron Dell. I think he's more of a backup goaltender. In the short term, maybe he can take over as a number one. But long term, I think if the Sharks are going to do anything, I think Martin Jones is going to have to find his game here.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's funny because Dell's played quite well the last couple games. But before that, he had given up, like 6 goals in one game, 2 goals in one period, another game. And like he played really well in the third game, giving up only one in Montreal. But, he's given up 4 goals in those last 112 minutes, actually, gotten 2 wins, both against Arizona, which isn't the toughest competition in the world. But, Jones really got killed against Arizona. And that's why he was pulled. And the Sharks came back and won it for Dell because, I don't know. I agree with you. I really think that they're relying on Jones. They have to rely on Jones. Dell doesn't really have a future in the organization. He's a UFA after this season, and I don't think they're going to re-sign him. I think he wants to be a starter somewhere. So, if they're going for it this year and they want to give Dell, all it's going to do for Dell is give him more money and make it harder for them to sign. But then again, too, it'll be hard for them to sign if they don't give him the job because he wants to be a star.
Yeah, I don't know. I think of him more as he's, believe it or not, he's older than Martin Jones by a little bit. But I don't know. I see him, and I know the numbers are good. I believe the numbers were relatively good last year, too. He had a 2.00 goals against and a .931 save percentage. The numbers are slightly worse than that, but he still posted overall this season some decent numbers. But in my mind, I think he's more of a guy that plays like 20, 25, maybe 30 games if you don't have like a true number one goalie. But I know he's already up to 18, but I just think that with Martin Jones there, if Martin Jones doesn't figure it out, like I said before, I think they're in trouble. And again, I led off my In the Crease article with Martin Jones this week, and he kind of let me down. I know he had a bounce back start against the Los Angeles Kings after being pulled, but they gave the start to Aaron Dell last night, who beat Arizona, as you mentioned. It's a weird situation because I don't think Martin Jones is an elite goaltender, and like not for fantasy purposes either. I think he's more of a solid number two goalie in standard fantasy leagues. But he's going to have to put it together. Like, he's going to have to find some level of consistency here in the very near
future. I agree with you. If you look at the games that Dell's played, most of the times he's facing a weak opponent. And, he faces Arizona. He faces, Montreal's not a very good team this year. So, he plays against them. He played against Vegas earlier in the season. It's Vancouver. It's the Ottawas. That's who he's facing. And that makes it awfully tough to get a real reading on him because you don't see him face the good teams. And, not that anyone can do it, but it's a lot easier to put up good stats against poor teams than the best teams. And a goals against average of 2 against the bottom 7-8 teams is a heck of a lot different than a goals against average of 2.4 against the top 7 teams.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, I don't think you'd find anyone who would disagree with you on that. That's for sure. Just going now to another team that has starting goalie problems, Michael. I'm pretty sure we had a podcast about this at some point around this time last year. But everybody was quick to blame Ken Hitchcock when things didn't go well for Jake Allen. Ken Hitchcock's not there anymore. Jake Allen has started to kind of fall off. Coincidentally, Ben Hutton has really stepped up. And he's done a really, really nice job for the St. Louis Blues. And it's a good thing he has, because or else they'd be in a whole world of trouble. But again, Jake Allen has lost four games in a row. He's given up 10 goals in his last two outings. Things are not looking pretty for Jake Allen.
No, not at all. Actually, it's Carter Hutton, not Ben Hutton.
Sorry. Ben Hutton is the defenseman. Sorry, Carter Hutton. Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, it's funny. Allen's started twice in the last seven games, and he's only played 94 minutes, given up 10 goals. In those seven games, Hutton's gotten to six of them, you know, starting five and in relief against Florida once. At six games, he's given up 11 goals in the six games, while Allen's given up 10 goals in the less than two games. It's pretty, you know, Carter Hutton should be the starting goaltender there right now, and right now he is. I mean, he sparkled against the Maple Leafs last night and held St. Louis in long enough for the Blues to come back. And, you know, I've been high on him since the beginning of the season. He's played really, really well. Again, you know, it's a lot different when you play against the lesser teams. But right now he's the guy who's going against the Washingtons, the Torontos, you know, the Vegas. You know, like that's who they're using right now, and deservedly so. And he's played very well.
So knowing what we know about the way Jake Allen rolls, because, I mean, he had this. I mean, remember last year Hitchcock, like, held them back. They didn't even send them on a road trip because they just kind of wanted him to refocus. And it worked, because then they went to the playoffs and he was fantastic in the first round. And he almost single-handedly carried them to the second round. But, I mean, how are you handling this situation if you have Jake Allen, you know, or Carter Hutton here at your disposal in fantasy? Because, again, like, you know, Jake Allen should be an important part of your fantasy team if he's your, you know, 1B goalie. But how are you handling this now while Allen's riding the pine?
You're probably not sleeping at night. Well, I don't have him, so I can sleep.
Well, I mean, in general, I hope people are sleeping at night, even if they have Jake Allen.
You know what? You're in big trouble if you got Jake Allen. I mean, the same thing happened last year, as you said. And I actually thought it could have been Hitchcock, because as soon as Hitchcock left, he went on a streak, like, and he was a top three goalie in the NHL. But same thing's happening to him this year, and you got to wonder if the problem's Jake Allen. I mean, because it certainly, you know, hindsight's 20/20, and certainly doesn't seem to be Ken Hitchcock right now. He's just struggling, and maybe that's the goalie he is. He'll play well for stretches at times, struggle for stretches at times. And not the guy you can really rely on to be your number one goalie anymore, or if ever.
Yeah, because I'm looking at this, and it's like, you know, in early November, in late October, early November, he wins five of six games, then loses two, wins four in a row, loses two, wins four in a row again. Now he's lost, you know, he lost four in a row. Now he's lost four in a row again. I mean, he's basically lost eight of his last nine games. Which is pretty crazy. So, yeah, I don't know. It's just, I think it's one of those things where maybe in the future you let somebody else draft Jake Allen, because I'm with you. And I know we both said this at the time, and it looks like we might both be wrong. You know, we were both very quick to point the finger at Ken Hitchcock. But, I mean, there's only so many coaches, and, you know, there's only so many people you can blame before you have to start saying, hey, look, Jake, this is a problem. You're clearly not a 1A goalie. And that's fine. I mean, not everybody's cut out to be a franchise number one goalie. But, you know, for a team like the Blues, who got off to such a good start, you know, goaltending is going to be important for them, because they do have some young players in some key positions. But, you know, you can only go so far with mediocre goaltending. And if they want to do some damage this year, and, you know, they want to be buyers and whatnot at the deadline, I mean, they need a goalie. And right now, Jake Allen's simply not cutting it. And I don't think Carter Hutton's going to keep going.
Well, chances are Carter Hutton isn't going to keep going this way. But you ride him while he's hot, like you do with any goaltender. And look at Andrew Hammond a few years ago with Ottawa. Did nothing before, has done nothing since. But he carried Ottawa with a ridiculous what was it, like 22-1 or something ridiculous record down the
stretch. Yeah, it was outrageous. Yeah,
and there's nothing, you know what? Sometimes a goalie gets hot, the team gets confident. The goalie's full of confidence, and you just can't beat them. And other times, you know, you take a shot from center, and it finds its way in.
You're listening to the Roto World Hockey Podcast with Joey Alfieri and Michael Feinwax. You can find us both on Twitter. I'm at Joey Alfieri. Michael is at MFeinwax Hockey. And you can follow the Roto World Hockey main page at RotoWorld_HK. All right, the next goalie. I mean, this is not a struggle because this goalie has been very, very good this year. But some really concerning news out of Chicago late on Tuesday night, Michael, where a report surfaced suggesting that Corey Crawford could miss the remainder of the regular season with vertigo-like symptoms. Now, I know you know this, but for our listeners, I had vertigo at the end of November, and it's now mid-January, and it's still not completely gone. I feel a whole lot better, but we're approaching 2 months, and it's still not completely gone. And I could just imagine if he's not able to play hockey, it means he has it a lot worse than I did. But Chicago has got to be legitimately concerned if Crawford can go, because he's probably been their MVP this
year. I totally agree with you. Totally agree. Chicago's in big, big trouble if they have to rely on Anton Forsberg and Jeff Glass. You know, they're run-of-the-mill goaltenders at best. I guess Forsberg's got a chance to be okay. But, you know, Glass is a 32-year-old rookie who played great as a Canadian junior at the World Junior Tournament 1 year. And, you know, it's finally heard from again this year as far as most of the hockey world is concerned. You know, they're on the outside looking in right now in the playoffs, and if they don't get Crawford back, and it sure doesn't look like it, you know, quickly anyway, they're in big, big trouble.
So if they continue to be that borderline wild card team, would you make a deal to, and I don't know who they're going to go get, but I mean, would you make a deal for a goalie? Or do you just kind of say, hey, listen, you know what? We don't have it this year. It's caught up to us, and we're not going to mortgage or sacrifice a prospect or a pick or anything like that to go get a goalie if we're just a borderline playoff team? Or do you think they say, hey, listen, we're a borderline playoff team. We've got to get in. Let's go get ourselves a goalie.
I don't know what goalies are available right now. You know, that kind of like a Robin Lehner. Like, I just don't know what's out there that they'd be willing. I mean, if you're giving up a draft pick, as long as it's not like a one or a even a two, like, you know, if you make the playoffs, that extra playoff money is worth it. You know, those extra, even if you get out in the first round, those extra 2-3 home games are well worth the millions of dollars just for a third round pick who may or may not make it. And chances are isn't making it for 5 years anyway. So I would go out and get a goalie if I was them, if that's what I thought the problem, you know, could fix the problem. And I was getting a goalie that was good enough. Again, I guess, you know, I guess they wish they had Scott Darling from last year because he certainly played well.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that would change the game, right? If you can lean on Darling for a while, but I mean, that's just the way it works. He was set to become a free agent and they end up making a deal. They get Forsberg. So, but in the short term, I mean, would you add Forsberg to your fantasy lineup? I mean, I know he's not great, but, I mean, it looks like he's going to be a starting goalie, at least for now. He's given up, I'm looking at it here, I think Glass has actually played the last two games, but he's given up two goals or fewer in three straight games for Forsberg. He's 2-1 during that stretch, but he hasn't played in the last two games, which is kind of interesting. I mean, is either one of these goalies worth picking up for now?
It really depends how deep your league is. If you're playing 10 teams and two goalies, if you're playing 10 teams and three goalies, it's not a top 30 goalie in the league. Maybe he's right at the bottom. Maybe if he's, but he's not because he's not even a starter there for sure. You know, like, you know, Glass could be just as good a pickup.
I like that. I've always liked Jeff Glass. He was part of probably the greatest World Junior team ever assembled during the lockout in, was it 2005? The year Crosby was like 16. And he was the goalie that won the gold medal there, but obviously went to Europe. It hasn't worked out. But he's actually played. He's coming off a loss on Sunday to the Red Wings. He gave up 4 goals on 26 shots. I personally think they're going to go back to Forsberg in their next game. But yeah, I think there's you know, there's some up and down moments there for both, and it's very hard to trust either one of them. But if you are If you do have Corey Crawford on your roster, though, Michael, you're probably scrambling right now.
For sure. You better have a good trade in you to get another goalie from somebody else. Because otherwise, you're in big trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's definitely a good point. Finally, there's one more goalie I wanted to talk to you about. This is actually some sad news. The Pittsburgh Penguins just tweeted out that Matt Murray is going to be leaving the team for an indefinite period of time because his father just passed away. So Murray is going to be coming home from Pittsburgh. They're on the West Coast right now, so definitely want to give our condolences to the entire Murray family. But that just means, Michael, from a hockey perspective, Tristan Jarry is going to end up getting a whole lot more time.
For sure. Very sad to hear about Murray's dad. As you said, condolences to Matt Murray and the whole family. You know, that's tough because who knows how he reacts when he comes back either, because he could just be so that sad. Yeah. That it just consumes them. And that's, you know, I mean, it's a natural feeling. It's just not good for your team or your hockey squad.
Absolutely not. And obviously just keeping a focus on the hockey side of things. Tristan Jarry has actually won his last four decisions, Michael. In those games, he has kept the opposition to two goals or fewer in three of them. Or no, in all four of them, actually, because there was a decision where he was pulled in a game against the Bruins where he gave up five goals on 19 shots in between there. But, you know, a young goaltender with some upside, he's capable, you know, depending on how long Murray's out. I think that if, you know, even if you have Corey Crawford, I think if Tristan Jarry's available in your league, I think that's maybe the guy you want to go get.
Most definitely. You know, it's I know Pittsburgh wanted to give him a chance to start in the minors, but you know, you really got to wonder why Antti Niemi made the team out of training camp.
Yeah, well, he's Montreal's problem now. Well, although Michael, in fairness, because I know we make fun of him quite a bit on this, and deservedly on this podcast, so. But deservedly so, yes. In the few games he's played for the Canadiens, he's actually looked like an NHL goalie. Okay.
Good.
One. Just don't pick him up in that doesn't mean I'm saying pick him up in fantasy. I'm just saying it's the Roto World Hockey Podcast. Joey Alfieri and Michael Finewax. Again, you can find us on Twitter at Joey Alfieri, at M Finewax Hockey, or at RotoWorld_HK. Okay, so if we can move on, and I want to keep the Pennsylvania slant going here on this podcast. We talked about Jarry, the Pittsburgh Penguins. You know, there was some concern about them. Everybody thought they had to make a move if they were going to salvage their season. All of a sudden, they've won four in a row. Crosby has 11 points in those four games. Malkin has 8 points. Kessel has 8 points during that stretch. They're playing some really good hockey. They were really good on Sunday, really dominant against the Rangers. Is this it? Is just like they flicked on the switch and they're good to go now?
Well, I don't think they just flicked on the switch, because I don't think you can just do that. I just think they got an outstanding power play led by the three guys you mentioned, Crosby, Malkin, and Kessel. Kessel leads the entire NHL with 29 power play points. I think the whole, you know, they've played 46 games. I think last year, 34 points led the whole NHL in an 82-game schedule. So that just goes to show you how great he's been. And, you know, and Crosby and Malkin are no slouches either, with 24 and 23 points between, you know, each, you know, respectively. And I think those three have just turned it on. They've been carrying Pittsburgh, because it's not like they play on one line except during the power play. You know, their big problem is going to be secondary scoring. You know, when you've got guys like, I'm just going through it. Well, you know, they got made a nice pickup. Or a recall with Daniel Sprong, who has 2 goals in 7 games. But you're looking here as Kuhn-Hockel has 2 goals in 41 games. Hagelin finally scored his third, and he's played 45 games. Riley Sheehan's got 4, and he's played 45 games. You're not going very far with your bottom six guys playing like that. And you got a guy like Ryan Reeves, who's been in every game, who has 2 goals. You know, you can need guys like Connor Sheary, who's played a lot on the first line. You know, they're hoping that Dominique Simon plays well with Crosby and Klecks, you know, but they've got those three. They've got Hornquist is a good hockey scorer. Jake Guentzel is a good scorer. And there's not very much after Connor Sheary. As a matter of fact.
Yeah, they lost. I mean, they lost a lot of guys. But I mean, you know, Chris. I know everyone's going to say, "Oh, but they still have Crosby, Malkin, and Kessel." But you know, at a certain point, you lost a lot of leadership. You know, Trevor Daley left, and Ron Hainsey left, and Chris Kunitz left in free agency. Nick Bonino left. Matt Cullen left. I mean, I know those aren't the star players, but I mean, those guys definitely contributed to that Stanley Cup run. It's not easy having to replace like 5-6 guys in one shot because you've won a couple Stanley Cups and you can't afford to pay them anymore. And I think that's really the problem. You mentioned the depth scoring, and I think those two things go hand in hand.
That's what happened to Chicago year after year. They'd have to retool after every Cup win because they couldn't afford everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. No, it definitely is. There's no doubt about that. And I'm curious to see. I'm convinced Jim Rutherford's going to make a move. I'm just curious to see what they're going to be able to go get. And I wonder if maybe they don't have to sacrifice Daniel Sprong in the process. I wonder if that's not going to happen. If we can stick with the Pennsylvania theme, I know the Flyers got blown out last night. I actually saw a good chunk of that game at Madison Square Garden. They actually went up 1-0. Very early, I think like 2 minutes into the game, but then the Rangers end up scoring 5 unanswered goals. I know that the winning streak, the 4-game winning streak is over for the Flyers, but still, the Philadelphia Flyers have been pretty good lately. Their power play was red hot. I think they gave up a shorthanded goal yesterday, but their power play was red hot coming into that game, and they've just been getting some really solid production from their big three.
That's for sure. Again, Sean Couturier, if you drafted him in the draft, kudos, because
he has 25 goals already.
And he's already set a career mark with 45 points in 44 games. I think he had 39 points a couple times in his career. So, you know, he's headed. I mean, he's on pace for like an 82, 83-point season. But if he hits 70 points from 39 to 70, you know, picks like that win you drafts.
I know, I mean, Voracek hasn't scored many goals. He still has under 10, but he's over 50 points, or he's right around 50 points. And Claude Giroux, I mean, I know we talked about him last week when we talked about the All-Star game nods and all that stuff. But, man, I mean, like this guy, they move him to the wing. And all of a sudden, I mean, he just explodes. He looked like he was finished last year.
Yeah. Can you imagine them with Braden Schenn still on the squad?
Yeah, that's one. They've done a good job, but that's one that they absolutely have to have back. I mean, that was a terrible deal.
To be truthful, you know, it gave Nolan Patrick a shot to play, and it's given Sean Couturier first power play time that he wouldn't be getting. So in certain respects, it hasn't hurt. They probably could have gotten.
Yeah, but still, Michael Schenn is, I think he was right at the top of the power play goal leader chart, was he not? So, I mean, still, even though, yeah, I think it's still one that they want to have back, I think. And even Nolan Patrick, just having seen him play a little bit, I don't know if he's ready for prime time.
You have to give him the, you know, they figured, I don't know if he's ready either, but let's give him the shot and we got to give him a proper shot. And again, I think they could have got more, but the one little light is that they had a first round pick from St. Louis. They took Morgan Frost, who's been sensational at Sault Ste. Marie in the OHL. I think he's leading the OHL in points and he's a plus 50 already this year. So he's sparkled this year. And, you know, it's pretty good for a 27th overall pick.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, because the Jori Lehterä part of that Braden Schenn trade, it absolutely did not work out. He's been a healthy scratch a bunch, and he's just he's not producing anymore. So that part of it was a nightmare. But, I mean, I still think the Flyers are going to be scary, but I just think it's going to probably be next year, Michael. I mean, if they can get in this year, if they find a way to get into the playoffs this year, I mean, man, that is a heck of a job that they've done out there with. I know a lot of people want Hextall fired. But Hextall and Ron Hextall and those guys, I mean, if they can get into the playoffs this year with that young core that they have, and I know that they do have some veterans there, still, there's a lot of young players, and they have a lot of players coming through the pipeline. I mean, Travis Sanheim, a former first-round pick on defense, he can't even get into the lineup. So Philadelphia's
in good
shape. They're
in very good shape, and I just want to give you a guy to take if he's not already taken in your draft.
Yes.
And that's Ivan Provorov. I love this guy. He's got 8 goals and 22 points in 44 games. He's a plus 3. He plays a bit on the power play. He's got 2 goals and 2 assists in the power play. He's a kid. And he was taken in the same draft as Werenski, one pick before. excuse me, mm-hmm. and in the same draft as Hanifin, I think he's got a chance to be the best of the bunch amongst defensemen in that.
You know who drafted him in our Roto World Leagues?
Who was it?
I did.
You did? All right, well, you know your stuff.
I did. I'm a big fan. I really like him. And you know what's funny, Michael, is that you remember all those years that, like, in the last, like, decade or even, like, 20 years where Russia's gone to all these major tournaments and more often than not, I mean, they haven't come away, you know, winning the Olympics and whatnot. And you look at their team and you're like, man, okay, they've got, you know, some type of goaltender and then they have, like, just the most dynamic forwards, but they don't really have anything on defense. You know, like, they've had, you know, some decent players, like they had Gonchar and Markov and whatnot, good hockey players, but they were never loaded on defense. Ivan Provorov is coming through. Mikhail Sergachev looks pretty good. And I think if Russia has those two guys at major tournaments for like the next 10, 15 years, I think they'll be okay. They'll probably be better on defense than they've ever been in years past. Yeah, well,
you got to go back to Fetisov and Konstantinov to get their good defensemen. But that's if the IIHF lets them back into playing, of course.
Well, World Cup, I mean, whatever you want to call it. So, yeah, no, it's definitely interesting. The last thing I want to talk to you about, the Nashville Predators, I mean, they've had a really nice season. Obviously, their Stanley Cup aspirations there. They came very close last year, but they've been hit really, really hard by the injury bug lately. Philip Forsberg is already on IR. Victor Arvidsson was placed on IR yesterday. And in the game last night against the Golden Knights, William Carrier ended up getting Ryan Johansson with what I thought was a clean hit. I know Peter Laviolette was he turned some shade of purple, Michael, because there was no penalty call on the play. I totally agree with the referee. I thought it was a clean hit. It wasn't direct contact with the head. But Ryan Johansson was woozy there at the end of the second period, did not come back in the third. No update necessarily. But, I mean, if they're down Johansson, Forsberg, and Arvidsson, I mean, that is a huge blow for a team that has these Stanley Cup aspirations and the team that's probably, you know, they want to finish at the top of the Central Division to not coast, but get an easier ride.
Yeah, well, I
the
said
playoffs.
This last year, you know, and I don't think it's the worst thing in the world if you accumulate injuries, you know, in the second half of the season, as long as you're healthy and make the playoffs, as long as you're healthy by playoff time, because you get a rest. You're not playing in the so-called dog days of the season. And, you know, I think I said it about Pittsburgh last year, and even if Letang never came back, and he didn't, the rest of the guys had a big, big break, and it makes such a big difference to a Malkin, who doesn't have to play 82 games. He misses like a month of the season, and he's fresh, or he's a lot fresher than all these other guys. And I think this could come back and help and end up helping the Predators in their Stanley Cup run rather than hindering them, because they still have guys like Turris, Fiala. You know, they've got some good players on the team. It's not like they have nothing. They've got an outstanding defense and very good goaltending. So I don't think it's going to hurt them as much as people think or as much as you think.
I argued with you last year when you told me that about Pittsburgh, so I'm going to keep my mouth shut this time around because you proved to be right. Michael, it's been fun. Always enjoy doing these podcasts with you. We'll touch base next week. I'm just going to tell you that I'm looking ahead to this weekend. It's the first time I think I've ever seen this between old rivals, not obviously, you know, playoffs with Stanley, but Montreal and Boston will play their third game in 8 days on Saturday. Obviously, there was the scary incident with Philip Deneau on last Saturday at the Bell Center. I was there for that. It was really, really terrifying. They'll play tonight. Claude Julien is going back to Boston, which should be interesting. And then they play three times, that third time in 8 days. So I'm looking forward to see exactly how badly these guys want to kill each other.
Yeah, I guess it hurts that Andrew Shaw's out for a while, because I don't know who Montreal's going to have to throw in there to
Nicolas Deslauriers. I know he's been scoring like crazy. I mean, that has been one of the underrated sneaky trades of the season. They traded Zach Redmond to Buffalo for Nicolas Deslauriers. And fun fact, Nicolas Deslauriers started his tenure with the Canadiens in the minors, right? So they ran into some injuries on defense. They threw him on defense because that was his natural position. He was converted to forward when he became a pro. He played on defense for a little bit, then went back to forward, got the call up. He already has 6 goals And he only joined the team, I believe it was in mid-November. He scored some really big goals for the Canadians, and he set the tone for that fourth line. So I think if somebody's going to drop the gloves without Andrew Shaw being in the lineup, I think it's going to be Delorier. He's been really good.
Good one. There's a tip for all you guys in daily fantasy.
Oh, no. There's no tip. If you're picking up Nicola Delorier, your fantasy team's in probably a whole lot of trouble. Have a good one, Michael. Thanks for doing this.
Perfect.
And we'll touch base next week. This has been the Roto-World Hockey Podcast. Don't forget, you can find us on art19.com, on Stitcher, and on iTunes. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. Leave us a positive rating and a comment. We definitely appreciate that. And you can also find us on Twitter if you have any questions for us. I'm at Joey Alfieri. Michael is at mfinewaxhockey. And you can find our Roto-World main page at Roto-World_HK. Have a good one, everybody. Enjoy the hockey, and we'll be in touch next week.